thankful for the opportunity to join with you and worship God. We have a lot of good reasons to be here. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who are sharing a common struggle, who are all desiring to serve the Lord according to His Word, to live lives of faith, shining the light of Jesus Christ in their life so that men may see our good works and glorify our God in heaven. And we're also here because we have a love for God. We have a love for Him for what He has done for us. This year, we have been considering, most months, the greatest command, which our brother Michael just read for us. The greatest command, the instruction that Jesus gave when He said that on the whole law and the prophets hangs these two statements, these two words: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so that's been our theme this year. Today, I'd like to talk a little bit about motivation. I'd like to talk about a cause that needs to be present if we are going to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that cause comes from both an appreciation and an understanding of the love of God, the love that He has had for us. And the more that we can see and understand His love, the more our love can be motivated and driven to be that type of love that Jesus has called us to have. And as we will note in this lesson, there is a sense in which we can never fully appreciate the love of God. It is a never-ending love. It is a love that is deeper, higher, and wider than our understanding is really capable. However, it is a love that we are to grow and develop in our understanding of. There's a song that is in our book, Sweeter As the Years Go By. And of course, that song speaks of the depth of God's love and how that love is something that we can grow to appreciate more and more as we live our lives. You see, the love of God is not something that we are going to exhaust or come to a point to where we understand it or not. But to the extent that we do understand it, and to the extent that we can understand it, the more we comprehend this love, the more we will grow in a righteous love for God and for others. Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And in a moment, we're going to be reading a prayer that the Apostle Paul offered. Ephesians chapter 3 is one of those chapters which really is one that we would do well to really see what Paul is saying here. Paul is talking in verses 1 through 13 about why he's been imprisoned. And why is he in chains? What led to his arrest? And he goes on and talks about how he was appointed to preach to the Gentiles in verse 8. And as he describes what he was appointed to preach, he says the unfathomable riches of Christ. And he goes on and talks about, again, this work, this mission that God has given him to. But think about that, the unfathomable riches. He talks about, in verse 11, this eternal purpose of God, which He carried out in Christ Jesus. This confident access to Christ, in Christ, in verse 12, that even the Gentiles can have. And so Paul recognized what he was called to do. And now he was in prison because he had labored diligently preaching this gospel. And he says in verse 13, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. You see, Paul was suffering, he was in prison, and he was in prison because of how diligently he labored to bring about all of these wonderful things for the nations that are available in Christ Jesus. And so in verse 14, he begins to offer a prayer regarding his imprisonment for the glory of the nations. And so he says in verses 14 and following, for this reason I pray, or for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so here, Paul, for this reason, I was in prison for the preaching of the gospel, but I'm okay with that, because the purpose of that imprisonment was greater than the suffering and the conflict that might come about to me in my life. And so, for what I was in prison for, that is what I will now pray for. I will bow my knees to the Father, and I'm not going to bemoan my current circumstances in prison. Instead, I'm going to continue to seek what God wants for you to come to fruition in your life. He's praying that as he has sowed the gospel into their hearts, that now God would cause the increase. And so he labored. He labored so that they would be strengthened spiritually in verse 16. And as they were strengthened spiritually, Christ could dwell in their hearts by faith, and they could be rooted and grounded in love. And so again, this is what Paul wants to see. They were born again. They had become Christians. And they were given a new spirit. And as they lived by faith, the result would be they could be rooted and grounded in love. And as he talks about that further, he says that this is what I want for you. I want you to be able to comprehend the incomprehensible. I want you to understand and measure the immeasurable. I want you to know the love of Christ, the love of God. See, all of these things being strengthened spiritually. God wants us to be strengthened spiritually. God wants us to live by faith. And in living by faith, we can know the love of God. And to know the love of God, to understand the love of God, can cause us, at the end of verse 19, to be filled up to all the fullness of God. So knowing the love of God results in us being what God has created us to be. Love and understanding the love that God has had for us becomes the greatest motivator that one can have in serving God, in giving God their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so our goal as Christians, again, is to be consumed with understanding the love of God. And by that love of God, we become filled with the fullness of God, all that God has desired us to be. Knowing the love of God helps us do that. And through this knowledge, as we become everything God wants us to be, Paul assures us in verses 20 and 21 that what he wants for them, what he prays for them, what he desires for them can be a reality. They can be filled with this knowledge, with this understanding. They could comprehend, again, the incomprehensible. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So God is able. God is able to help you, if you live by faith, to know the love of God, to be filled by that love to the fullness of God. God's love is an empowering love. It is the motivator of our love. Again, there are a lot of reasons, there are a lot of motivations to obey, to serve God. But the greatest, most compelling is the love of God. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Another great chapter. Another chapter, it talks about judgment. It talks about living by faith. It talks about preaching and teaching others. It talks about our eternal home. And it talks about motivation. He writes in verses 14 and 15, "For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." And so the love of Christ compels us. It drives us. It can be an incredible force of influence over our character. It can help us make our behavior consistent with that love. Loving God, again, by reflecting upon His love, is empowering. It can control, it can compel, it can, again, be the driving force behind our character. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. See, we need to look and behold the love of God. We need to think about that love. And as we look upon the love of God, and as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of that love, it drives and feeds and develops our love. 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. We read, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in him." So here we are, we're beholding the love of God. And as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of that love of God, it comes to fruition in our obedience to God. And as our love of God matures, we have a desire to obey God in everything. I want to know the will of the one who has loved me so much. Have you ever admired someone? Maybe there was someone who was thoughtful. And they were always looking out for others. And they always knew how to say words of encouragement that helped motivate people to be better. And you look at them and you thought, well, I would like to be like that. Have you ever admired someone? Well, we are to look to God. We are to look to the love of God. And as we admire that love that He has shown for mankind, that admiration turns into a desire to want to be like Him. To give what you've received. That's the power of the love of God. 1 John 3, verse 1, we read, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him." You see, behold that manner of love. Behold the love. See the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. We read, "Behold, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You see, we come to see and know the love of God, and the result is, as we are humbled by that love, we love. We stand next to the one we admire. We stand next to the one we adore, and we learn to walk as He walks. Love of God is a powerful force in our lives. The love of God is what fuels our love for others. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We read, "The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him." You see, the love of God causes a love for others. It brings about a love for others. We often think about love as an emotion and feeling, and it certainly is that. But I want us to remember that the chief characteristic of that love is more about what we do. It includes what we feel and think, but it's more about what we do. It's more about the actions that we show. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 16. We read, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." So here is the empowering love of God, the driving love of God. It causes us to love him and to serve him and obey him, and it causes us to love others. Turn back to 1 John chapter 2. Not only does it drive this love in us, but it also causes us to lose our love for sin. You know, that's why it's so important that we try to grow in our love of God and our understanding of his love. Because, again, to the extent that we understand God's love for us will directly relate to our ability to turn from our sin and to love that sin less and to put off that sin. So John writes in 1 John 2, starting in verse 15, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever." And so, in verse 15 again, what does the love of the world result in? Well, it results in the love of the Father not being in us. But the inverse of that is true as well. The love of the Father in us results in a lack of the love for the world. So loving God brings about a lack of love for one's sins. The empowering love, the compelling love, the motivating factor that we need to have. 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. How can we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, we can do that, again, simply because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. I can love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength because I have been shown from God a powerful and relentless and even unconditional love. John 3:16, "For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." You see, God had a love that he showed to his creation. A creation that often aroused anger. A creation that was often rebellious. But God's love and his ultimate demonstration of that love was not based upon anyone being a delight to him. It wasn't because they had been attractive or sweet. It wasn't because mankind was always inherently pleasing to him. Instead, God demonstrated a complete love for mankind and by sending his Son for mankind when there was nothing redeemable at all about mankind. He sent his Son to die for those who were immoral, for those who were cruel, and for those who were hateful and vile. It was in that capacity that God gave his greatest demonstration of love for man. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Again, a great passage. One that we might often read when we're about ready to break bread together. But again, it highlights this facet of God's love. This love that came to us, again, not while we were admirable, but while we were sinners. Romans 5, starting in verse 6, we read, "For while we were helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so here, again, is this wonderful passage that highlights how fortunate we are to be loved by God. And how, as we highlight the situation that we are in, the perilous situation that we are in, when God sent his Son to die on our behalf, well, what more can we do than want to grow in a love for our God? To love him because he first loved us. We ought to ask the question, why? Why does God love me so much? As David wrote in the 8th Psalm, what is man that you take note of him? Why would God provide to us what would come at such a great cost to himself? That question is a question that spiritually minded people, those who have tried to behold and understand the love of God, will find themselves asking. Why would he want to do such great things in our life? Why would he give me the purpose of being a display of his goodness and a display of his glory? It ought to be unfathomable to us that God would love us this way. Well, how do we know God loved us? Well, God has loved us, and again, he has shown us by his actions. You know, how do you measure love? How do you count it? You know, what sort of means do you use to measure the love of God? I turn to John 15. John 15. I want us to just remember this. Whatever standard we may try to use, all I know for sure is the love of God is so full and complete that it could not be improved, it could not be added to. Jesus gave and showed his love in the fullest of measures. John 15, verse 13, we read, greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And so here is the statement. There is no greater love. There's another hymn in our book, the love of God. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and more the sky with parchment made? It describes again the immeasurable love that God has shown. God cannot be outgiven. God cannot be outpaced. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And so again, behold the love of God. Look at what God has done. Let it drive you. Let it motivate your love. We love because he first loved us. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. We read, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. So Jesus became poor, he became impoverished. Why? So that we could become rich in him. And this love, this expression of love, has been extended to all mankind. Paul would describe himself as the chief of sinners. But yet the Lord saw right through Paul's weaknesses, right through Paul's sins, and he called him by the gospel. He gave him and showed him his love. And as he showed Paul his love, that love became the compelling force in Paul's life. It made him strong. It made him useful. It made him diligent, laboring for the one he loved. Paul loved because God first loved him. And the Lord will do the same for me, and he will do the same for you. He will do the same for anyone. God has shown us what his love is capable of accomplishing in our lives. And God's love is a challenging love. It is a challenging love in that, as again, as we behold it and as we see it, it makes us want to love Him more. It makes us want to develop the characteristics of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love rejoices not in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It helps us want to look to love and to, again, emulate and demonstrate that love. Why? Because God loved us. Again, the greatest command, you shall love the Lord your God in all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To excel, one needs to be challenged. One needs to be shown what perfect love looks like. And God has done that. God has shown us love, and that love can make us better. The love of God in our lives will show itself in a development of our character, in our obedience to His will. The love of God will show itself in our lives by a love for others and a refusal to love the sins of this world. May we learn to know and understand the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Now we're going to respond to that love. Shall God's love be our song that we sing? I hope that it will. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? I hope that if not, you consider the empowering love of God. Well, are you a Christian this morning? Have you obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? We want to encourage anyone who is present this morning who has yet to put on Christ in baptism to consider their relationship to God. Jesus was sent to die on the cross so that you and I could have life in Him, life everlasting, life eternal. In order to become born again, we have to be willing to become obedient to the gospel that calls us. And as we see in the scriptures, through the words and teachings of Jesus and His apostles, and through the actions of the church, of God's people, those who accepted the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of God's love, were baptized for the remission.